Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is January 4th, 2019. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm here today with Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
And I'm here also today with John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
And I want to go ahead and, first of all, remind everybody that we are covering CES. Dave himself is going to be there next week. And we will have all kinds of news and events and interesting stuff to talk about. Right, Dave?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be. It's always fun. We'll be John Braun is also going, and we'll be attending the show floor, though, to be perfectly honest. From afar, I know the show floor looks great, but being there, the show floor is actually mostly worthless. But in terms of content, but there's lots of other things and meetings and press events, so we'll have all sorts of things to report. And this is as good a time as any to thank our three CES 2019 coverage sponsors, which are Text Expander from the good folks at Smile, Carbon Copy Cloner, and Otherworld Computing at MacSales.com. So the three of them have made it very possible for us to do all of this great coverage. And they're good folks too. So thanks for that. And stay tuned. There'll be lots next week.
There will be so much next week because, yes, like Dave said, the show floor looks great, but the actual stuff that happens at CES doesn't really happen anywhere near the show floor.
No, so. And there's a lot of noise at CES too. So that's what we see. We don't see our job as covering everything that happens there because that's sort of worthless to us and to you. So What we do is we go and try and mine through it and filter through the noise and deliver you the stuff that's actually interesting to you and us and you know, us being in this Apple ecosystem and all of that. So that's what John and I are doing next week. So should be fun.
It's definitely going to be interesting. In the meantime, I would like to talk a little bit about Apple TV. And with that, I have certified Apple TV nutcase John Martellaro on the case.
Yay.
Those are his words, not mine, by the way. And for the record. And one of the things that we want to talk about is something that has been sort of dangled in front of Apple TV users for a while. And that is, if you are a cable subscriber, you could use an Apple TV instead of having to have that giant box from the cable company.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it? Like that's what... Like the Apple TV has certainly enough horsepower to be your set-top box. Mm-hmm. Thus far, it has been lacking one component that most other set-top boxes have, and that is a coaxial input, right?
Yes.
So it can't be your thing that talks directly to your coax signal. But what's that coax signal delivering? Really, it's just digital content. Mm-hmm. Well, your cable modem delivers digital content too, and so do lots of other methods. And so the Apple TV could, in theory, get all of this content, and we're starting to see that happen in a material way, and it's kind of exciting to me.
Speaking of coax, Dave, I've always felt that the cable and satellite companies would like to get rid of their hardware and get rid of the service bureaus and having boxes and boxes of scratched and decrepit DVRs piling up in the service center and just go internet only and have you pay a monthly fee. And then they're absolved of lots of service technicians running out to your house trying to diagnose your coax cable problems. And lots of apartment buildings these days are built without coaxial cable infrastructure, knowing that the consumers will figure out how to get internet anyway. So there's some social and political forces here that are guiding the cable companies away from coax.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think long term, I would agree with you. Coax is, well, we have the infrastructure, at least in the U.S., where that is. It would be silly to stop using coax. It's a fantastic medium for transmitting digital at high speed, right? So I think there's still boxes in our houses for those companies, right? I mean, yeah, we 5G is being dangled out there, and 5G will become the thing that sends internet and other data signals to homes. But I don't think we're getting rid of coax anytime soon, John.
No, I think it's going to be a slow phasing over from coax and infrastructure and telephone poles to, you know, digital content on the internet. TV's going to the internet, obviously. So,
but I think
these DVRs in the sky are one movement towards getting away from physical boxes in your house as well.
Right, but you still have to, like, I'm with you on this, and I realize we're now going in a completely different direction on this. But
I see where you're going.
I'm with you that the cloud DVRs, all of that stuff is going to go away. You know, the concept of having this box in your house that has to record everything as opposed to just, you know, getting it on demand or however you like it from some cloud infrastructure that your provider gives you. Yes. But like, why would we stop using those coax cables?
I see where our disconnect is. Pardon the pun.
Yes.
I was thinking about coax in the context of coax being connected to their box that delivers television, as opposed to coax in your mind that delivers digital television to your cable modem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of what's going on here also, I think, is that we're sort of talking about two things at the same time. Because in the olden days, you had two things that sat on top of your TV, because you had a TV that was big enough to be its own horizontal surface where you could stack a number of things. And one of those things was the cable box, the thing that came into the house that had the cable on it. And then there was also the VCR. And the two of them worked together to make it so that you could watch something later than when it was on TV. You could watch it at a different time. Now, a lot of cable companies, because of the possibility of doing this, have turned both of those into one unit. Now, at my house, I have TiVo. So my cable situation is still separate from the thing that records the TV shows I want to watch later.
But your TiVo is your cable box. I mean, it's not that separate, right?
There's a cable card that I put in the side, and I have a cable card TiVo. And so I have a way to do that. So the cable box became this little card that I pop into the side of the TiVo, and then my TiVo, is my cable box. But it doesn't have to be. Like, that's the thing, is that they currently work together, but they could be separate devices still. And what we're talking about with Apple TV, like, now Apple TV has storage, and what I'm not seeing about any of this is recording, like we do now. When most people think about a cable box now, a lot of what they're thinking about is the TiVo piece or the DVR piece, you know, that makes it so that you can record whatever that is, because that's all part of just looking at the guide on the cable box.
Yeah, I think the cable companies would like to get away from DVR type control in your own home, because for years now we've had the ability to skip over commercials. But as the studios and the cable companies slowly boil our frog and move us over to these boxes where we have streaming, there's no longer an opportunity, except for when they offer flaky DVRs in the sky to skip over commercials. And sometimes those DVRs in the sky allow post-recording, but not necessarily to skip over commercials. So getting rid of that DVR box in your house has lots of advantages.
Well, but for who? And also back to your point, John, that it's, you know, less that there's lots that can go wrong with a DVR box. There's, you know, moving parts in it, right?
A hard disk in there.
Yeah, exactly.
There are no DVRs with SSDs, none.
But circling back to the you got me thinking SSDs. Circling back to the Apple TV, like, and combining the Apple TV with the DVR in the cloud, like, that's actually what led us to putting this on the list for today, because Charter Spectrum has rolled out their Apple TV version of their app, which starts to open this up, right? Because Xfinity has that app for iOS.
DirecTV has one.
You know, DirecTV has one, right? DirecTV's is also available on Apple TV, correct, John?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So
Brian Chaffin experimented with it, and he thought it was kind of flaky.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's like, I expect these things to be flaky. We're talking about living on the bleeding edge a little bit here. That's okay. But I always look at these things.
Dave, it's one thing to emerge into bleeding edge technology at your own will. It's another thing to transform the rock solid coaxial TV viewing context into something that is less than stellar.
That's true.
And especially because in some cases it's
backwards.
In some cases you don't necessarily get the option. Like there's going to come a point where when the guy comes out to your house because you've complained about the cable box, he's going to swap it for this other thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the option of what you used to have before. Because, I've used a Comcast. Here's what happened. We had a TiVo, and there came a point when it was time to pull the trigger on a new one. And we got a Comcast cable box for a month with the DVR built in and everything. And we used it for a month. And I took it back and I went and bought another TiVo.
Sure. I did the same thing.
Right? it was terrible.
This stuff doesn't work well when it's when it first comes out, right? But nothing does. And I'm not going to, like, the Comcast X1 or the Xfinity X1 box now is
we're just going to change our name so nobody remembers that we suck. Yes, I remember.
Nobody. It's miles beyond what we both first experienced with those initial DVRs that then made us go buy other TiVos. If my TiVos died today, I would not replace them with TiVos. I would just use the X1 box. That's what I'm saying.
I've used the X1 app on my iPad, and I find it as frustrating as I found the cable box. And so I'm always just sort of happy to have my TiVo every time I open that app.
The TiVo is comfortable. Of course, last year, though, TiVo, of course, changed to the Hydra interface, and everybody complained about that, too. Change is not something we humans accept very well. But the reality is that TiVo's Hydra interface works great. It's fine. Comcast X1's interface works great. It's fine. They are different interfaces. Mm-hmm. You will have things about each of which that you don't like. But like this trend towards, here's a box, and we'll take care of the rest in the cloud for you, or at least make it like a hybrid thing, which is what some of these are, is the right direction. And then when you add in this stuff with the Apple TV, like this Charter app or the DirecTV app, Brian tested it and didn't like it, but that's a static moment in time. He didn't evolve with it. He didn't give it a chance to evolve. And I get that, but also like we can't sit here and say don't use it because Brian tested it a year and a half ago and it sucked. But see, that's the
beauty. I heard so many bad things about DirecTV DVRs. I was at pause when I first looked into it.
Yeah.
But it turned out that the people who were complaining were the people who were, you know, those edge cases where they did have a problem.
Of course.
99% of the people don't complain because it works just fine. And mine has always worked just fine.
Well, and the beauty of something like what Charter's doing or what DirecTV's doing with the app, and once it's all in the cloud, iterations can happen at a, you know, exponentially faster pace than they can if you have a physical box in your home.
Right.
The third reason to get rid of the box.
Yeah. So like this is the right way for us to go, even if, you know, like day 1.0 is not as good as, you know, day -1, right, with the old system, because it's just going to evolve and it's going to get there. And it has gotten there. And I had totally forgotten. It's funny that how much I hated that first Comcast DVR. We got one because it was the only thing that supported HD at the time. Mm-hmm. And TiVo did not have an HD unit at the time. And so for 3 months, I taught my young children the art of cursing because they had to be in the room with me while I operated this device.
Yeah.
Right up until the day that I could spend $1,000 and get a TiVo that did this with its lifetime subscription or whatever. It was the fastest $1,000 I've ever spent in my life.
Watch Daddy push the buttons and turn red.
And turn red, yeah. And these funny words come out of his mouth. But the reality is, like, now I'd totally forgotten about that, because now that X1, which is the same thing, just, you know, iterative design, marching forward as it does, they got it right. And it's great. And it doesn't make any sense at all to spend all that money on a TiVo when, you know, for essentially the same monthly price and no hardware investment, you get this device from Comcast that works perfectly with Comcast, doesn't have any issues, and you're good to go. Right.
Well,
I guess the argument for a TiVo to finish that thought to its logical conclusion is that the TiVo will do things like, in addition to Netflix, which X1 does, you know, the TiVo will let you connect to your Plex server, and it will do several other things that perhaps your X1 box.
Yeah. If you scroll down to apps on the TiVo menu, you get Netflix and YouTube and I think Amazon Prime and a few other things that I don't subscribe to, like Hulu and stuff, that they all show up there. So you can do all of that with your TiVo device. The thing that John made casual mention of at the beginning is one of the biggest reasons that I'm happy to still have a TiVo, because occasionally something has happened and I've missed a show and I've wanted to watch it, and the only way I was able to do so was the Xfinity app, or to use on demand Xfinity on demand through my TiVo. And either way, I get unskippable ads, and I don't like unskippable ads. And the reason I don't like unskippable ads is not because of the principle of the unskippable ad. The reason I don't like them is because most of the time there's like two, and they show four commercials during an unskippable ad break, and you see like the same ad twice, and then you see a different ad twice, and then you go back to the show. So the reason I don't like it is because, yeah, I understand you're going to show me a commercial whether I want you to or not, but now you're going to show me the same one over and over again. To me, is sort of aggravating.
I don't watch ads at all.
All right, so here's the thing, right?
Well, like, that, those are unskippable. Otherwise, yeah, I generally will skip ads, but sometimes I just leave things on to play. And part of why... And that's the thing about this, is that that is Comcast having control of my viewing experience instead of me. And that's part of what worries me about doing this stuff where Apple TV is the box, because zero sign-on is supposed to be super great, right? And it does sound like it's super great, but I think what it's doing is keeping me from giving my Xfinity account password to somebody else so that they can watch my cable shows even though they're not at my house.
But you still could do that. Like, single sign-on is a convenience. I love conspiracy theories, and I'm emotionally supportive of yours, but I don't agree with it at all. Because single sign-on is not the only way you can do this. It's just a way you can do it.
Well, I'm just skipping ahead to when it is. Like, you can't do it otherwise, and so that keeps anybody else from using my Comcast password. Like, I'm just skipping ahead to that point, because that's... My conspiracy theory in this is that
far in the future. I don't think that's part of their plan. I really,
really?
Don't. Because you're still going to want to log in on the web. You're still going to have, you know, they're going to provide you with an email. Like, I don't know.
Well, because otherwise I don't see what there is in cable companies for going for this. That's why.
I kind of agree with Kelly.
I don't understand what
technology that gives them more control and prevents theft and fulfills their agenda is going to be implemented technologically wise, and the PR aspect will be, well, look how cool this is. But I think Kelly's got a thing going on.
I would love to be proven wrong. I would love nothing more than to be proven wrong. But aside from that, I don't understand what the cable company gets out of this, because it's not like a cable company is going to get something like this pitched to them and go, wow, that'd be good for customers. Let's do that. It's not how they operate. We know better.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I like, every business is the customer service business, right? And
yes.
And I get that we have seen these companies do some things that are not fantastic, but
customer service and cable is an oxymoron.
See, that's the thing, though.
Customer service consists of keeping you from dropping.
I hear people say this. I have encountered in the 13 and a half years that I've had Comcast here in New Hampshire, I have encountered stellar customer service 100% of the time that I have needed it.
Yeah, you're right. I have too with DirecTV. They're good folks.
I get that we like to hate these companies, but I haven't seen it. I mean, yes, pricing wise and the packages and the way they do that. Yeah, okay.
It's that I can't get anything else. It's that if I want to not have Comcast anymore, then I get to watch antenna television and not have internet.
You can always do DirecTV, can't you, Kelly? Or
correct.
Dish?
I know Dish reception in my neighborhood is terrible. I looked it up. And so maybe, at best.
You're inside a mountain?
No, but you're right. I mean, they've been granted essentially monopolies, right?
Yeah.
By the government, which is fine, because we don't want to have 35 coaxial cables on every pole out in front of every house throughout
That's
America,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
So I get that, and that leads to some imperfect scenarios, but but this isn't like we choose this. I would choose it every day. Like, oh, do you want 35 cables? No, definitely not. Cause there'd be trucks roaming every neighborhood fixing, you know, the 14th cable today and the 13th cable tomorrow. And like, no, just the one is good. We figured out how to do that. It's fine. You know, and yeah, in theory do they have to resell spots on those cables to other companies? Yes. Is that economical? No, clearly. Otherwise somebody'd be doing it, you know.
They don't have to. That's the thing, is that right. and that's part of where it, well, because that was a thing that happened in Portland. So there was a whole court case in Multnomah County, where I live, where somebody wanted to be an ISP that was using the coax cable network that already existed, and Comcast said uh-uh, and Comcast won. And so that's part of where I get irritated by it, is because like there is no option. And according to the legal system in Multnomah County, that's totally okay. And I personally find that endlessly frustrating, because I should have an option like I used to with the phone line. Like the phone line came to my house and then I could put whatever internet service on it that I wanted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In terms of dial up, you mean?
Yeah. Like in the olden days. Yeah. And it should be the same with coax. If coax goes to everybody's house, then I should be able to pick an internet provider.
Different things, though, because you can get to anywhere you want with coax. It's called an internet connection,
right?
I mean, you can, but your phone line back in the days where you could dial up to an ISP out there, mm-hmm. your phone line always came from the same company,
right?
Now, whether you got your phone service on that line from the company that owned it or from a company that leased space on it,
uh-huh.
was your choice,
right?
And
now I have no options.
Coax lines operate under exactly the same mandate, right? Where they have to allow a third party to buy in to space on that line and deliver you a service. And as I was saying, no one chooses to. It was barely economical with the phone lines, and I think it's just been proven that no, it's not. But it the same thing exists. So you had the same monopoly. I think you're just looking at it a different way.
Yeah. Well, what I know is that I can't change internet providers even if I want to, and the fact that I have to call them like once a week or so and reset my modem makes me grumpy. So, well, and I'm not the only person that has this problem, because they've now turned it into an automated system where, like, if you just want to reset your modem, press 2.
Kelly, there is HughesNet. You can set up a dish on your house and you can have direct access to the internet through HughesNet, bypass Comcast.
Okay.
I have a friend in Arizona who's out in the country, and he uses it because there is no cable internet access where he is. He has DirecTV for TV and he has HughesNet for internet.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I'll have to think about that. That might be a good one. So we had a whole nother topic to talk about today, but I don't think we're going to get there because we started down the cable road and now we've got a show. So, John, do you have any thoughts about this as far as Apple TV? Like when DirecTV does this for the Apple TV, are you going to be into it and sign up and do all of that?
Right now I'm kind of keeping a mixed mode environment, trying to optimize. One day I may, you know, go single source, but right now I kind of like the redundancy and the options of having a dish system and a physical DVR and then Apple TV. So, I use each in it with its strengths, and, so far I can pay for it.
Right. So, but when the, not to replace your cable box, but once DirecTV says, hey, we have an Apple TV app, are you going to check it out?
Well, there's some fee associated with using it, and it doesn't seem right now to make sense to me to pay that extra fee when I already have DirecTV on satellite direct. So.
Oh, okay. So, Dave, if Comcast does this instead, are you going to swap out a TiVo?
I will probably live with my TiVos until they die or have been feature replaced by something that I want. And as long as the X1 box continues down its path, I would go to that. Or if Comcast or whoever my provider that is, you know, dictated to me offers an Apple TV app like experience to get all of that content, I'd happily jump to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I have found out it might be possible for me to break up with Comcast, so apparently I know what I'm doing this afternoon when we get done with the show. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
And remember, you will be able to hear a lot more from Dave next week, live from Vegas, as Dave is there with John Braun for CES coverage, so you will be able to get a whole bunch of that next week. I'm sure some of that will leak over into the Daily Observation podcast. Thank you, John Martellaro, for coming by today.
My pleasure as well. Thank you.
And for the rest of you, as I said, I will talk to all of you next week. We will be back with another show on Monday. And until then, be excellent to each other.